Go to sleep. You're just tired. Quiet. Hey, hey! Myrtle. No.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. No. I'm Dan Levitard, Sarah Spain, and Katie Nolan, and Myrtle, who still is not behaved. Totally
she has
undisciplined.
Opinions. Why? She has opinions on the Lakers. She
because
wants
Myrtle's
to talk.
Owner is undisciplined. Let's get
wow.
started.
Start the show. I can't believe you just called Myrtle shrill, Dan. Jeez.
Do you trust the Lakers again?
All right, I am not going to do this spiking back and forth that we could have done at any point in the last decade of basketball that LeBron James has taught us. Let's look at the macro here. The idea that he has made people in Miami, broadcasters, and now broadcasters in Los Angeles, rooting like homers for LeBron to go deeper and deeper into the playoffs because he always does, and that's good for our business. Over the last 10 years, LeBron James on this network has turned this network into an infomercial for LeBron James, and here we are always covering the Lakers because he always gets deep in the playoffs because we cannot appreciate this athlete enough as our day's Michael Jordan. We came out of The Last Dance and the pandemic and everything else, and here's this guy at this age with that kind of mileage on his body saying, hey, Damian Lillard, cute story. Get out of here.
You say infomercial for LeBron. I think of him more as like a political trigger word, right? Like there are people who create entire narratives around who wants him to fail because they want to defend Michael Jordan's legacy, who wants him to succeed because they don't think he gets enough credit for what he's done. Like last time I was on the show, I talked exclusively about Kyrie and KD, and I still got just 11 messages about how the reason I was saying the things about them was because I was trying to defend something about LeBron, because all of y'all are doing that. I've never done that. I've always said that anytime I try to pick against LeBron, no matter who his supporting cast is, no matter how terrible they look, by the time they get to the postseason, they're probably going to rip your heart out. And that's what I've been saying about this Lakers team, even as terrible as they have looked. I love this matchup, and I want it to be like what we imagine it to be, but it hasn't been. The Blazers came out hot, and then they just haven't played well. So yeah, I do believe in the Lakers more than I did early bubble when they were last in almost every offensive category statistically, but I also need to see them against some teams that are putting up a little bit more than what we're seeing from the Blazers right now.
Yeah, this question feels very personal. I feel like you guys have very personal feelings towards what you've said. I was off last week, so I didn't say anything, and so I don't really have to answer to it, but I will say, if you're looking for reasons to trust in this Lakers team, the thing that has made me trust them more than anything is LeBron's Instagram post the other day, in which he showed a meme that made fun of his hair looking like a Reese's when it sticks a little bit to the wrapper. And he said that it was great. That self-awareness from LeBron to me is like, all right, let's go. We're doing this. Because his hair guy is not in the bubble. And I think we've all seen things deteriorating over the course of this weird season. So I love, you know, he's being self-aware, which means they're going to go real far is the math that I'm doing in my head.
In every place but one has he been self-aware when he says he doesn't bend for anybody and then conveniently forgets that he really sat out that China discussion. His excellence, I could separate the art from the artist. He separated himself from that discussion, protecting the sneakers. It was his worst public act, but he's really, really good at basketball.
Well, now his hair is separating itself from him.
Based on how they've played in the bubble, should your Miami Heat be favored to beat the Bucks?
Okay, well, in the bubble means the playoffs, because the Heat were 3-5 in the bubble before they swept the Pacers out of here, a depleted Pacers team. And I wouldn't overreact to the fact that Miami looks really good out there. And I would say, best ball movement I've ever seen from an offense in a Heat uniform that used to include Dwayne and Bosch and LeBron. It's beautiful to watch, but Milwaukee has the best player in a series, and I will always take the team that has the best player. It's no knock on Jimmy Butler. I want the team that has been great all season, less great in the bubble, but Greek Freak is the guy I always want on my team. And these games, incidentally, I should say, the Miami Heat are not playing the Bucks for now. They're playing them for tomorrow. They want to eliminate Giannis this year so they can take him for next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of implications at play here for the Bucks and Giannis. I miss Jimmy Butler. Remember when he was on the Bulls? That was fun. listen, the Heat look good, and the Heat, during the regular season, pre-pandemic were the team that we most kind of went like this to when we thought about a matchup with the Bucks. They've got the length, they've got the depth, they've got the perimeter shooting, they've got the guy in Bam Adebayo that's most able to give Giannis fits. This is a team that if it plays its best basketball and the Bucks are off in the things that they want to do, which includes being able to dominate the paint and not depend on that outside shooting, which includes stuff like getting Bam into foul trouble so that there's no one left to counter Giannis. If they do all those things, yeah, they absolutely can give him some trouble. I'm not picking the Heat in the series, but this is probably the most interesting matchup to get, especially this early in the postseason.
Yeah, the Heat are certainly fun to watch. They seem to find a way to win, and it's always been kind of like a different way, which is why I think it's so exciting and interesting. But I do think we'd be getting ahead of ourselves. This is a team that in the preseason, a successful season was going to be defined by making it to the playoffs or advancing to the playoffs. Saying that they're going to beat the Bucks decisively would be a shock. It's not saying that they can't do it. They could do it. They have Jimmy Butler. He's going to have plenty of time to rest that shoulder that's been bothering him. I know there's been a lot of conversation about him in regards to like the Sixers and if they made this big mistake by passing him on. I think it's very clear he has stated why he's able to be successful with the Heat. I think we have a clip that we can show.
You have been playing great basketball. You seem to be having fun out there. You're winning. What is it about the Miami Heat specifically that has allowed you to thrive at this level?
Get to be me. I get to cuss people out when they're not doing their job. People gonna cuss me out whenever I'm not doing mine. And we don't take nothing personal. You know, it's on to the next play because everybody knows that whenever I say something, I mean well. It may not come out the right way, but I mean well. And it goes that way across the board.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for the ability to cuss out the people that you work with when you don't like what they're doing. Like, part of the success of this show is I can say, you, Dan Lebatard, that we don't have a single hockey topic in the show today. I mean, the Stars are up 2 games on the Avalanche, and we're just not going to talk about that at all.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
And Calhoun back at the bag at first, down number two. Okay. Now it kicks away from Murphy. Cole got to go to second.
Second, kind of. No. Nope.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he put his head? Did he do that on purpose? Did he put his head in the way on purpose?
Yes. Give us the other angle.
The throw to McMahon hits him right in the helmet.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes, Cole Calhoun.
Do you question James Harden's uncontrollable rage?
All right, so Chris Paul has to feel just a bit left out because here's his team. It has overachieved all season, surprised us. They were supposed to be going nowhere, and here they are. They've taken the Rockets to 2-2, and so we have Chris Paul, whose playoff credentials we have questioned, against James Harden, whose playoff credentials we've questioned, and what happened here?
And how about
this is after the game. It's 2-2.
Oh. James Harden is,
oh, that's unsanitary.
Sanitizer down.
No, we can't do this in these times. No. You can't push down things that keep away the pandemic. That is rage. We've seen this before in the playoffs. Amari Stoudemire one time self-destructively punched a fire extinguisher glass and hurt his hand. Sarah, what were your thoughts as you saw James Harden? Now he's even again. He shouldn't be even against that team.
My thoughts were that's one of their most important teammates that he just discarded like that. They need that guy to be able to stay in this. We all need that guy for them to be able to stay in this. This series is wild, by the way. You're right. I did not expect much out of the Thunder this year. I kind of discarded them just like that sanitizer. And here we are, evened up. I have no idea where it's going to go from here.
Here's the thing. If that is one of their most important teammates, and I agree with you that it is, maybe we don't put it on a chintzy little stand that can easily be toppled over by being tapped. I mean, these athletes are fired up. Like, they're if they go up to that to use it, they might knock it over. Maybe bolt that baby into the ground if it's so important. Let's go.
Did seem flimsy. It's
yes.
I mean, it's $150 million bubble. They can't have better hand sanitizer than us. They have better
hand
tests.
Hand sanitizer is not cheap now either. That stuff's skyrocketing.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about Harden underperforms in the postseason. I don't think we spend enough time talking about how he takes out his rage on important, flimsy sideline and courtside items.
Hmm.
He does that?
Oh.
I mean, look. 2015, he's like, listen, I don't need you, stanchion, or whatever you call that.
Stanchion, what a good thing. Word.
Is it a stanchion? What is that?
I don't know. Is that a
it's a beautiful
stanchion?
Word.
That seems like it might be stanchion. Is it a stanchion? I don't know what it is if it's not a stanchion.
Look, James Harden only confidently takes on opponents he knows that he can easily beat. That's kind of the takeaway.
Oh, come on, cheap shot.
Do you question if Cole Calhoun made a smart base running play?
Wow. Okay. Cole Calhoun. Katie was just marveling. It was a weird kind of longing. What a great name.
It's a good baseball name. Cole Calhoun.
It is. Yes. Or Rockies Diamondbacks. What's Cole Calhoun doing?
And Calhoun back to the bag at first down number two. Okay. Now it kicks away from Murphy. Cole got to go to second.
Now to second, kind of. No.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what's did up? He put his head? Did he do that on purpose? Did he put his head in the way on
what's
purpose?
Up?
Give us the other angle. The throw to
McMahon hits him right in the helmet. No.
Oh, yes. Yes, Cole Calhoun. That's good work out of him.
He had, this angle. This one's so good.
Oh my God.
Oh, he deserves second base there. That he earned that. That umpire shouldn't reward that behavior.
A man named Cole Calhoun must be born with the knowledge that if the ball hits you in the base path, you're out. You have to know
right.
that.
I think the rule should change. If you intentionally headbutt a ball, I think the rule should change and you have earned the base.
All right.
I did not know the rule. Look, I learned when A-Rod slapped that glove out of the hands of Arroyo many years ago. I learned that rule right there. And just now I learned the rule that if you stick your head in there, you're going to be called out, because I thought that we could say, you know, it was close enough that maybe it wasn't totally, totally, totally on purpose.
I mean, impressive, remarkable accuracy, but not a heads up play, if you will.
Wow.
Heady play. It would have been a heady play.
A heady play. Yeah, a real heady play.
Do you question if brokinis are the next big thing?
All right, so this is what we have. A couple of guys in Toronto have decided we've got a new revolutionary bathing suit. Drink it in, ladies. I'm not particularly sure why it is we're showing you the brokinis, but let's do it.
Oh, boy. All right. What's with the mustache?
Is that part
wig?
Of it?
Oh, look at what a joy.
Oh, no,
he's
we
having.
Don't need
Are
a,
we measuring?
A ruler.
Oh, okay.
What? Yeah, why the wigs?
Oh, that's not
no!
right. That's not right. That picture is not supposed to be something that my mother gave to the producers of this show. That is deeply unpleasant for everybody involved.
I mean, look, wear whatever you want to wear. But here's the thing about bikinis and bathing suits in general. When One Pieces came back for women and they have all these cool cutouts, it's just going to give you weird tan lines. So I don't know why you would voluntarily sign up for it. They look like diapers with suspenders on them to keep them up in case you, you know, drop a particularly heavy load. So no, I'm not super into them. But again, I respect every, I don't kink shame. So you can wear whatever you want to, boys.
I am horribly embarrassed that you guys have now all seen that photograph of me and my father being socially irresponsible during the pandemic.
Number one, it's just a half Borat, which we all have seen. Number two, it's also just a half wrestling singlet, which I've never considered something that I wish we could wear to the beach. Number three, to Katie's point, any Chad who's going to wear one of these is going to want an even tan across his rippling pecs, and that's just not going to happen with the brokini. So in the end, you're going to end up flipping that strap over like an unused overall, and instead you're going to get that weird sort of like dangling, flopping thing down there, which nobody wants in a beach situation. I don't think this is going to play. I really don't.
Dangling and flopping.
Those two words I didn't need
words.
Here.
Well, that was back to the photo of you and your dad.
Unnecessary. Yeah, dangling and flopping. Your verb choices. Oh,
yeah,
hey,
there we
hey,
go.
Hey,
dangling
hey,
and
hey,
flopping. I think
hey.
Oh, those are the names. One on the
oh
left.
Oh, my God. You look like large babies.
At 9 p.m. tonight, Game 5, Mavericks and Clippers.
Yeah, this one has been a lot of fun, so I can't imagine that people wouldn't be intrigued. But what is happening with Paul George cannot be fun, because he's got a commercial campaign for Gatorade where he showed you all of his slicked up postseason success. And then when we've seen him in the postseason, it's not actually success. So people have been in his comments. He says he doesn't care about what you're saying about him, but his shooting percentage has been terrible. I feel bad for him because I think he's actually hurt, and it must be hard to play that game at that level when you're hurt. But there he disables the comments because after not caring, evidently he does care a little bit. It has to be unpleasant to be Paul George right now. Katie, are you intrigued by this one?
Yeah, I don't want to be too serious, but I will say, like, celebrities don't owe you the ability to comment on the pictures that they post. It's kind of like this thing when you block somebody on Twitter that everyone's like, he's super sensitive, he blocked me. And it's like, nah, I just didn't feel like hearing everything you have to say all the time on all of my posts. So I will take the contrarian stance and say that, like, he doesn't care what people have to say about him, and that's why he doesn't want to give them the platform to say things about him. It is kind of the crazy thing about Instagram. You come to my page to tell me that I'm bad, and then you get mad at me if I take that ability away.
No, you're so right about that.
Kind There's of such weird.
It's why it's the poison well that it is, because of the entitlement in that. And I understand, too, what you're saying, where Paul George is a human being and he doesn't want to hear from you. Sarah, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. And actually, I agree. Like, it's a great gotcha moment to be like, I thought you said you didn't give a F. Well, then why'd you block the comments? But it's real. And if it's going to help him play better, not having to digest the endless garbage from people in one of his lowest moments, then he should absolutely do that and protect himself from diving down any of these deep holes where people are just putting you down. Like, he's in a tough spot right now. He is historically bad right now for a player of his caliber in a postseason series. And they need him to move on. And he needs this to disprove the idea that that commercial is the greatest playoff success he's ever had. And so I do feel bad for him. It's easy to make fun of him, and we are getting serious now instead of making fun of him.
No, but
yeah,
this
I
is
to say that. Look, my main point is, if you want to make fun of Paul George, you can, but you've got to work really, really hard and then get on a show called Highly Questionable. And then you can spend the rest of the segment just absolutely on Paul George, but you can't do it for free in his Instagram comments. And I'm sorry.
Yeah. Also, if Dan posted that actual photo or any actual photo of him in a brokini, he would likely have to disable the comments as well. We all know that when you have a disaster on your hands, you just can't let people freely comment.
Everybody
drink
would
it
be
up,
in
ladies.
My DMs. Drink it in. My ladies would be drink my, it my up. DMs would be filled with ladies because of me and Poppy. They'd want to get close to Poppy.
Oh God.
Tonight at 6 p.m., Phillies and Nationals.
All right, we are skipping the great ending on Sunday Night Baseball of that Phillies-Braves game. The tying run was thrown out at the plate to end that game. We are covering this HQ style. Jose Alvarez is on the 10-day DL with a contusion. I wonder where that contusion is. An HQ exclusive. What do we have here?
I know where it is. Yep, I know where it is.
But he made the play agonizing pain, hurting because I don't think he probably wears a cup. Could it have hurt because he was also wearing a cup? I don't know.
Oh, man, he's in a place. He is in a place.
A dark place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the 10-day DL.
10 days?
Yes, with a contusion.
All the things to be carted off for.
Oh, and look at him at the end, though. Hold on a second. Not just carted off, but look at him at the very end here. You've got to just summon something there to be just slightly less dead to the world. Watch his arms over his head.
It does kind of look like a Renaissance painting of someone who's been shot with
this right here. Oh, like, come on. You're not a war soldier. Come on. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I actually have a question. I don't know if it's going to derail the whole show, but like, Dan, as the guy, can you explain what that feels like? Because it's a pain that I don't know. Like, does it feel like when you have a stomach ache? Does it feel like when you're about to pass out? I just want to relate to that pain.
No, it's pretty much the worst pain that men can feel.
Yes, I understand that, but explain what it feels like. Does it feel? I haven't been in labor. So I don't know what that feels like.
Okay.
What
I don't
is
know how
it?
You
is it like when you stub
somebody.
Your toe?
I don't know how to explain this. It is,
horribly
throbbing? Painful.
Is it stabbing?
It's how about this? It's as if your groin region was hit with a very, very hard stubbing of the toe.
Okay.
Stubbing of the toe where you know the pain is coming. You got to wait for the pain. And as soon as the pain arrives, it's every bit like just a horrible stubbing of the toe. Nothing, you know, it's bigger than a toe. Sarah, are you intrigued?
Unfortunate analogy. I don't know where to go from here. There's
he
too many things that I'm not
toe.
Allowed to say.
That's what I did
you
say.
You just said it's bigger than a toe. Where am I supposed
I did
to go
say
from?
That. That's something I said. Yes, that's how we're ending the show.
Oh, my my God.
Sarah Spain, you can find more Sarah Spain. That's What She Said is the name of the podcast. Dangling and Flopping is not. Katie Nolan is where you check her out. Sports with a question mark. I think any man in our audience would understand, like, well, how do I explain exactly this?
That's like I once described, a guy asked me what period cramps feel like. And I said, it's like you ate an entire bowl of fettuccine Alfredo and then you realized you didn't have a so like you can't can't poop it out to relieve yourself. You just have this pain that you're like, I just gotta wait this out.